Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Episode 37 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca here.
Yep.
And we have a guest. First guest in the new studio.
Yes.
Gotham Podcast Studios.
Shout out.
It is Gerard Hector.
What's good, y'all?
What's up, man?
Chilling. Finally got me on here.
Told you.
Brian, talking all this smack for months. Oh, we're going to get you on this pod, bro.
I said
it's going to be dope.
I said it for
It's going to be dope.
I've probably been telling him.
Got my colleague Erica on before me. Got all these cats on before me. I was like, damn, son, it's like that.
I've probably been.
Like you're in your feelings, man. You do it in your feelings.
Listen.
In my feelings challenge.
Listen.
Have you ever done the in my feelings challenge? Like in private?
I mean, yeah. Not.
Nope.
And Brian knows. Drake's my dude. I rock with Drake. He cool.
We've talked about that. We're going to talk about that.
With all my music. I mean, look.
I mess with Drake.
Yeah.
He's not.
I know he don't. Because we'll be in a group chat and he's like, man, anybody listening to Drake? And
I don't be like that. You know, his last album was cool. The first disc. You know what I mean?
Like, it had like four good songs.
I'm with him. I didn't really care for the second disc.
I mean, listen.
I like Nice for What. Nice for What is dope.
I like the New Orleans bounce sound. Look, it's hard to put out two discs. So what's that, 40, you know.
20, anything over 20 songs.
It's hard to put out. I mean, listen.
Which is why I don't think most people should do it.
It's like Missy Elliott syndrome, right? Like I always said about Missy, like she put out an album every 18 months because she's trying to get out of that contract. But
that's what I was thinking. Did he do that?
She waited one every 3 years and put all those hot songs on. She'd be hot fire. Still is hot fire, but
I agree.
Did he do that to get out of a deal, though?
Yes. Well, this was the last thing for him.
So then he could finally start making more of his own money?
He's a free agent after this release. So obviously, when you do a double disc, that counts as two albums.
See?
He can do his own thing. It's too much of his money is going to
That's also why we saw things like More Life, which is a horrible project.
Yeah.
Don't tell the Drake fans that.
No.
I mean, look, I'm not a Drake stan, but I mean, I can't
Who's bumping that More Life?
Not
show
me.
Show your face.
Hey, I know people. But
I mean,
like,
there are a couple of tracks on there. You know,
they think Drake could do no wrong. They think Drake could do no wrong.
I mean, this is, you're always
Views.
Views was okay. A little too long. Okay, but we know that. Let's not take away from Gerard. Gerard's
here for the smoke.
All the smoke.
Then you know what? I'm here for it, too. Gerard, you may have, for those of you don't know, you might have seen his work. He does some work for BET, Black Sports Online. You also see him on MSG. He's done a lot in the New York City area as a sports journalist. We like to do this with everybody we have that comes up here. Tell us about your journey to. It's always a journey.
Yeah, because you didn't start off here.
No, you
had the career change too.
I had the career change. Yeah. You know, so for me, sports is always and entertainment is always my first love. I'm a lot older than I look. Black don't crack. Gotta love that.
Are you gonna drop the age? Because Brian always gets on me for dropping the age.
I mean, I'll drop it. I'll be 40 in November.
Okay, yeah, so. Black don't crack.
Black don't crack. But not when I met you and yeah. you told me you were like what? Late 30s. I was like, what? It's like, well, same with Dexter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with Dexter. I thought he was still in his late 20s.
We don't have a lot of advantages. That is the one advantage that we got. We got to ride with that. So, you know, I was doing the corporate thing, and life was successful, making good money. I was married. Talked to you guys about that before the podcast. Mm. And then things shifted in my life, right? Got divorced, and you sort of have this momentary crisis where you're like, okay, I got to hit the reset button. But I actually could hit it because we didn't have any children. There's... Besides splitting up common property and stuff like that, everything's good, right?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I'm not. I always say that people are like, I don't recommend people go through divorces as a way to restart your life.
It's real messy. It can be.
It can be messy, but it's also emotionally like you're going through some stuff when you deal with that, right? Yeah. But once I got to that point, I was like, well, I can actually reset it now. Well, what is it that you actually want to do with your life? Because now this is it, right? You don't ain't no more do-overs after this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me see what's up with this sports and media entertainment thing. So I was out in California. I was working for some startups there, and I was finishing up that because I was like, I hate doing this stuff. I don't. This is not what I like to do.
Mm.
And
similar conversation that we had off air.
We sure did. And I'd known Robert Littell, CEO and founder of Black Sports Online. Shout out to Rob for years. You know, we either like talking at him on Twitter, arguing about stuff. He's like, listen, man, you should do some work for us, whatever. Mm. I was like, all right, I'll see what's up. So I started just doing posts out there, whatever.
You
and
put
I was
the
like,
battery in your back.
Yep. And I was like, all right, man, I'm coming back to New York. He's like, listen, good opportunities for you out here. Way more to do out here. And literally, I got out here January 1 of 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think January 8th, I was at the Big 3 press conference announcing the league with Ice Cube. And I was like, what? But it was dope because I had worked in communications and marketing before on the other side. I was a PR guy, like PR running. Guy, PR. Right. So I knew how these events worked. I was just on the other side now. So it was great. And since then, I mean, God, I've covered Tribeca Film, Nets, Giants, boxing, UFC. I mean, I've seen them at all these things.
I think the question people always want to know when they hear stuff like this is like, yeah, that's inspirational. You made this career change.
Yeah.
You got this epiphany. How hard was it to jump? You know, I was just talking to somebody about the other day to take that jump and say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go in all the way.
Oh, it's hard because there's no safety net, right? And also, what I'm doing right now, it isn't like I work at one of these places and I'm full time and I've got a salary and benefits, right? I mean,
I know that life.
You're grinding. I'm in
that life. switch for me now, but I know that life.
You're hustling, right? So yeah. I mean, if you aren't doing anything, you're not eating, right? So
say that all the time. Right? You don't work, you don't eat.
You don't work, you're
a freelancer,
right? So you've got to be out there doing it. So listen, it's great, and if you want to do it. But if you're not ready to put in that work.
Yeah.
But stick to what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
Stick to that safety.
Exactly. But I augment it, right? I'll still pick up communication stuff on the side and do things like that. Because, look, you can grind as hard as you want, but it's still about someone on the other end being like, yeah, maybe we want you to do that, and we'll pay you for it. And that's the other thing.
Yeah.
As a freelancer, are you going to pay me what I'm worth versus what you want to pay me, right?
And on time.
Listen. You know what I mean? Until I chase people for money? You know.
Man, I'm chasing some people for money right now. They know exactly.
They know who they are. We coming for you. Don't
they know exactly who they are. I'm going to leave it at that.
And the thing is, you know, again, what's what people don't realize, right? Let's say the person who is doing it, you know, he or she works in accounting, whatever. Yo, man, you salaried, you good money. When you were like, oh, it's 4 o'clock, I'll put his in tomorrow. No. You're not setting me back now more than a day because now it's not going to go into the next week's batch.
Work.
And you're causing problems now.
That happened to me, and I had to just wait for payment for 2 weeks. Again, y'all know who you are. And I am still waiting for full payment, which is a whole nother issue.
I know it.
Now,
you might think
I'm okay because I've moved on to something else, but you're messing with playing, as Jeezy said, you're playing with my money, you're playing with my emotions.
Listen, you got that right.
I'll do an In My Feelings dance for that.
Listen, and this is a larger conversation I'm sure we'll get into, but don't be messing with the money, man.
Don't
mess with that money. That's,
yeah, man.
Don't do that. All right, so
things
so,
that I gotta learn.
So now we know how you got here.
Yeah.
You've done, like you said, you're doing entertainment and sports.
Yep.
And I met Gerard. We were covering we were covering the big three last summer.
Yes.
It was at a time, it was random. Like Ian Begley, also a friend of the show, he was there. Yep. And it was at a time where it was random, but it was an open space for a lot of people because the draft had just ended and free agency hadn't yet started.
Yeah.
So you kind of had that window to where it's like, hey, there's nothing to do this weekend. Let's all go to big three. So that's how that kind of happened. But yeah, I've noticed that you've covered the Giants for a couple of years, and we're going to obviously get into some football
The New York
stuff.
Football Giants. I got thoughts.
It still makes me mad when people say that. Why do we still say the New York football Giants?
You know,
I understand why you used to say it because they were the New York baseball Giants, but there's no need to say
it. I mean, I think we probably still say it because Berman says it. and if you're of a certain age, you probably just you're like Berman said it, so now I say it.
I'm not getting on you.
No, I got you.
So you cover. You've been doing Giants.
I think
I'm trying to think of the whole Chris Berman thing, but I'm gonna save that for another
time. What's it called? No, I mean listen, Berman. Whoop! Everyone,
I liked them as a kid growing up.
As we all did. Look, what you realize about this business and about anybody, sports guys, sports casuals, who we do.
Yep.
We're all people, which means by nature, we all have lowercase p problematic parts of ourselves or capital P problematic parts of ourselves, right? Mm. And depending on who you are, it's just outsized. And yeah, Berman is problematic, right? Like, this.
Funny because, like, you know, they say never meet your heroes, so to speak.
Right.
Not that I've met them, but I, like, people that I know that aren't really living this life, so to speak, they can't fathom, like, that you're around famous people all the time. So
all
it's kind of like nothing to you.
No.
And it's whatever when you meet somebody and they're a certain way and whatever. So a lot of people we do meet are nice. You know what I mean? Like, for example, we were just talking about UFC.
Yeah.
And in the build up to that UFC 217 rematch with Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Mm-hmm. Nailed that last name.
That was good, man. I like the pronunciation. Play, boy. He was practicing it.
But they... I did practice that before we was in the luncheon in April, and I never forgot that. What's it called? Interviewing people like that.
Yeah.
Like, you meet them, they're incredibly nice people, but, like, yo, you're just being around famous people all the time, and you kind of, I don't know.
I don't have expectations. I don't know about you guys, but I just don't have expectations.
No, I just look at it, I guess my point is, I just look at it differently now. Because before, you could be...
I think the industry does change you in that way.
I've said, like, I can't even think of a handful of cases where I'd be starstruck to meet somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you say Freddie Gibbs for me.
I think it would be.
Oh yeah, Freddie Gibbs for
I
you.
Think
you
he
might.
Pass out.
Yeah, you.
I
don't
think he'd pass out.
Yeah, you. Yeah, Freddie Gibbs, you could walk in here right now. You'd be like,
nah, I'd be cool. I'd be cool. I'm pretty sure I'd be cool.
No.
I'd be cool.
No.
Now Sasha Banks. You know what I'm saying?
Sasha Banks.
See, I don't know if there's anybody that walks in and I'm like.
This is a good question.
It's a great question, and I don't know. Now we're getting off.
You're more in that entertainment.
You know what's interesting about entertainment?
Because I've met some people in entertainment doing that stuff, too, when I worked at the Post. And I had did I say the story about my random meeting of Jay-Z? I think I've told you this story.
I think so.
After a Knick game. But, yeah, Jay-Z.
Yeah, you did.
Long story short, is Jay-Z came into an elevator. It's me, Fabulous, Spike, and we're in the elevator. And I hear somebody's like, yo, hold up. And I'm like, I know that voice. Jay-Z came in the elevator. And he sees Spike, and he puts his hand out to give me a pound. And I'm like,
How old were you?
And
were you with the Post?
26, 27? Yeah, something about that.
All right, so but then you're an adult.
I was grown enough.
You can't ride,
Okay,
so you can't fanboy out.
If I fanboyed out, somebody should have just slapped me and threw me out the elevator. But, you know, Jay-Z's my favorite artist.
Right.
I was just like, oh, what's up?
Right.
But it was cool. Yeah. It was a cool moment. But I wasn't like, oh, my God.
If I met Nas or Freddie Gibbs, I think I'd be cool, honestly. Kendrick Lamar, I think I'd be cool.
It is interesting, right? I think what I've noticed from it is, and this is sort of mean, I never want to let people know, but look, what we get to do for a living is awesome.
Yeah.
And I also tell people, it beats working for a living, right?
Yeah. Like, you're just going to have to deal with being underpaid for a while.
Right. And you also, you know, I always tell people, they're like, they'll see my Instagram. Yo, I'm like, yeah, because I only put the stuff that you want to see on Instagram. You don't see me up till 3 a.m. working on who's this person? What's their free throw shooting percentage from? You're not worried about all that. You don't see all that, like, stressed out on prepping my interview questions and all that. And in the meeting famous people, you've done so much research on them, you just get to a point where you're like, you know what? You cool. It's funny. Like, someone who you might not think, like, I love movies and TV and all that. I met Glenn Close. Let's see. in the spring. I mean, she, and you know, Glenn Close is like one of those like OG like act. I mean, she, and I walked up to her and I was like, "Oh, Glenn, just wanted to introduce myself." She's like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "I'm Gerard." Blah blah blah. Oh, and I was like, just telling her about her stuff, and I was like, "Damages." I was like, "That's probably one of my favorite things you've ever done." And she's like, "Some good writing on that show, right?" Just like totally like downplaying like I'm Glenn Close, like you know,
it's like, not about me.
It's about the writing. Right. That's how so many of them are, right? And you realize when you meet these people. They're just people.
They happen to be really good
at this thing that pays them a lot of money.
But they're just people. That's it. Yeah. That's why you never get it.
And that's how I approach them. So that's why I don't freak out, because they're just people.
Athletes, same way.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them don't want to be sort of recognized as like, you know, like.
And they respect you more when you're cool.
They do. I think they do. Yeah. And it's one thing. It's why you also can't be surprised when you find the, like you said, I think a majority of people are good. But there's some athletes who are, you know, they're going to be jerks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it happens. And I'm not surprised by it either. We've definitely encountered some athletes who are jerks.
We've run into some.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I've covered a couple Adrian Broner fights. But,
damn. He went straight for the.
I had to throw a name out.
I didn't think we were going to put names out there.
Broner's.
I mean, Stevie Wonder can see that.
Stevie actually can see.
Adrian Broner's very wildly entertaining, but there's just some athletes you'd prefer to just, you know, kind of be distant from.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I'll be in the scrum, but you know what I mean?
I'm not really trying to engage.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Jacobs is there? Let's talk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Jerome Miller's there, let's talk. It is interesting, though, about the scrum, and I know we're probably already off topic.
Who cares? We ain't got time.
The scrum, and I talked about this with so many people, and obviously it's what we do now, so I don't give it a second thought.
Yeah.
But the scrum is such a strange place, and you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Man.
These dudes are legit fresh out the shower.
I don't like
and we're all standing okay. around, but I'm like, no, man.
Okay.
Like,
I'm so glad you went there.
Yo.
Because I think this is the first public conversation I've had with fellow reporters about this, outside of just being an event.
Yeah.
Let me just bring this back so I can bring this back to what Gerard was saying.
Mm-hmm.
A scrum, for people who don't know, is when all the reporters are around a particular player and they're going to interview them.
Or coach.
To what Gerard is saying. This happens a lot in football, more than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the Giants or Jets locker room.
Good Lord.
It's after practice period, especially during training camp. You're waiting for the players to shower, then go to their locker and talk to you.
Right.
Gerard could back me up on this because he's been – I used to work for the Giants. People know this. But people who've been in there more recently.
Yeah.
Everybody's waiting there for this guy to come out of the shower, and then the guy will come to the locker. Okay. So now you know he's got to dry off. He's got to put on some lotion. He's got to do whatever he's got to do with his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And people will start inching closer to his personal space. And I'm like,
listen,
what
fam.
Are you doing?
Fam.
Why is this? Why would this ever be okay?
Like, just waiting. Like, oh, I'm going to be in front of this.
And then you got some situations like Rod Tidwell, nah, air dry. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, but you know what? I ain't mad at him. Because he's supposed to have his personal space, and he's trying to make everybody feel uncomfortable. I'm mad at him.
And that's the
There's
thing
some other
about
giant
it.
Players I wouldn't mention who used to just walk across
just,
the
yep, straight
the
out.
Out of the shower. They used to walk straight like, out whatever. Naked. And do, and I, know
I haven't seen that in the NBA yet.
NBA guys are pretty good about it.
Different vibe.
That's what I figured, because I haven't
It is interesting, though, because the other part about why, and it's, I understand why the reporters inch closer, because you want to make sure you get in the front row so you get your question out. However,
or video to get the best
or your
shot.
Video,
right.
But listen, man, there has to be a level of, you know, decorum or just come on, people.
People are gonna ask me what I used to do when I was a video journalist shooting video. I'd stand there and at the spot with a reasonable distance, and I would turn either my back or turn sideways. That's what I would do. Now here's the problem. Once everybody else starts inching up, and you got to inch up because you don't want your organization outlet to be like, yo, why you didn't get that shot?
Yeah.
Why did you get that
Right.
So now you got to be part of the creepy club.
The creepy club.
You're right on top of this other man.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, could he get some space to change?
It's wild, man. Oftentimes I'll stand by the PR guy or lady, depending, and be like, yo, just because it makes me feel better. You know what I mean? Because, look, I get it. But, again, you want to get up there first because you want to get the first question in, the whatever.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me a couple of times. And that's why I like NBA better, because those guys, generally, we wait till they get dressed when the Rockets came in. And it's sometimes everyone's rushing. Okay, they're getting dressed, so it's hard. And then we're all sitting there. And then he's, you know, you also want to wait for them to give you a verbal nod, like, okay, save that question now.
Because they're on their phone, and you want them to look Harden's up and
just
be
doing
like
this thing. And he gets up, he's like, okay, anyone want to ask me a question? And then we're like, all right. And then you just jump in, and it's this weird, because you don't want to sit there and watch a I don't care, whatever, watch a another human being getting dressed.
It's weird.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
It's just awkward.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't even like scrums that much to begin with. I mean, we have to do them.
But it's also weird. There's also a lot of other weird journalists next to you, too, in these scrums. And you have to. You sometimes have to experience things you might not.
The super serious. You know what I mean? Like
super serious.
I'm not. Yeah, because I'm not super serious about this. I'm like, bro, if you want to ask your question, go ahead. We're in a scrum. We're all gonna get the same.
And I get it. The beat writers, listen.
Oh, they have. Yeah, they have. Yeah.
And I oftentimes will cede to them just because they have to fill up a column or every day with the. So I'm like, look, man, my viewership, if I'm writing for Black Sports Online, they don't really care what so-and-so said after the game about, yeah, I felt pretty good. No, they don't care about
that. And internally, do you really?
Not really.
I don't care.
I mean, you've seen, and when I ask questions, I generally ask questions about nothing that has anything to do with the game, usually, especially if it's like a pre or something like that. I'm like, yo, what kind of music you're bumping, whatever. Yeah. I'm trying to get anything else besides, because I know what you're going to give me. The standard. Yo, both teams played hard. Like, okay, man.
Both teams play hard, my man.
It's funny, before we just take a break, the beat writers, they sometimes hate the evergreen questions that people will ask, or they'll give them.
It gets them off their,
topic of what they're doing. They'll give you guys the side eye.
Yeah.
But I'm like, everybody's got a job to do. So my thing with scrums is everybody has a job to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And as Gerard is saying, you need to respect other people's space.
Exactly.
I think that, you know what? We need to make the rule book on how you handle scrums. Because a lot of y'all out there, and this goes to all the journalists out there, a lot of you guys are doing it wrong.
Perpetrating.
You're not respecting the people's
y'all
space.
Y'all are habitual line steppers, and you know who you are out there.
Habitual line steppers. All the way. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little NFL, which I know Gerard is hyped to talk
about. We're going to get controversial.
We're going to talk about people with mean tweets.
Nice.
And what they're doing and how things are going in sports. We'll talk about all that when we come back on episode 37 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
Sports Guru is the place where fans talk about sports via video. All videos are 60 seconds or shorter. Sports Guru makes the video look more professional and fun by adding automated on-screen graphics. You can follow your favorite sports by team, trending, new, or by people you follow, and more. Type in the title of your video and it will automatically, that's right, auto-magically go into your on-screen graphics. It's just that simple. Tag your teams and publish sports. Let's talk sports.
All right, welcome back to the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, episode 37. We're calling this one the Sean Alexander episode. Gerard wanted Jerry Curl, Pedro Martinez on the Expos, but he has been overruled.
Yo, Pedro was a bad, I mean, his whole career was a bad man, but Expos Pedro, people forget about that dude. Nice with it.
Yeah, he was. He's one of the greats.
The basketball history of number 37 is pretty awful, though.
Yeah.
It's like just, you know, Meta World Peace, Nick Van Exel one year. It wasn't like, not this Meta World Peace, who I shouldn't be calling that. His name is Ron Artest.
Yes.
But his mama named him Ron Artest.
Yes, I'm going to call him Ron Artest.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a matter of, like, that wasn't his peak. You know what I mean? Yeah, at his peak, he was in the stands, you know, fighting people.
Wearing 15.
Yes.
You know, funny you did the whole mama call him, so... Back to our famous person segment, met Lawrence Fishburne, and I wanted to call him Larry so bad to his face when I met him, but I was like, nah, he kind of big. I was like, he kind of big.
I would have done it.
I was like, let me go ahead and just call him Lawrence.
You're going to call that man Lawrence.
His daughter's a porn star, right?
That is correct. And I wasn't going to ask him questions about that either.
I'd be curious to know, like, just... He's learning about that.
He's not from him.
Have you watched it?
He's actually a very cool guy. Very cool. I ain't asking no questions like that.
All right, so Gerard, we talked about you covering the NFL.
Yeah.
What you're covering the NFL in this interesting time where
as a black
reporter. What's it like covering the NFL with everything that's gone on with the what's being wrongly called the anthem protest, but everything that's gone on there, what is it like?
Yeah. Because we know you don't rock with you know, NFL, like, protocol.
Well, so in general, and Brian knows this about me, Dexter, we haven't covered a game together, so you don't know.
Yeah.
I do not come out of the media room before the national
anthem. This is true. He does not. He's like, I ain't coming out for that.
I stay in the back, usually eating, or I'm on my computer doing whatever I got to do. And the times where I forget and I don't know and I'm out there, I am actually angry that I'm out there.
So let me also, it's always going to be clear for the audience. When, this is my experience too, when you're at MetLife Stadium and they're playing the anthem in the media room, everybody in the media room will usually stand, take their hats off.
Yep.
But there is a place behind where the seating is in MetLife Stadium where they have all the food.
Yep.
And MetLife, one thing they do is they always have a good spread.
Listen, that spread. You get breakfast and lunch because you're there early before kickoff. And then, you know.
Post when you're
Man.
I got to go to MetLife for a game.
9 a.m. to about 4:35 on football Sundays with the Giants. That's where I am eating all my meals. Delicious.
I wish I cared about football, man.
But go back. So you don't engage.
No. I'm either in the bathroom or back by the food.
It's a fact.
The times I'm out there, I get angry. I'm like,
we'll be in the workroom and he'll stare at the screen and be like, I ain't coming out there for that bleep.
Listen, let me just be clear because this is going to go out there on people to know. I am a first-generation American, very proud to be an American, happy to live in this country. It's the greatest country in the world in many respects. But that doesn't mean I can't criticize it or be angry at it for things that I don't feel are right. And you're not going to force patriotism on me or force it down my throat.
No one does that like the NFL.
And that's what they do.
Paid patriotism, we should say.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Right? That's the thing. All you people who show up to these games buying your camo hats and all your nonsense, thinking that you're all patriotic. Listen, man, do you people know who Brandon Ketchum is? No, they don't know who Brandon Ketchum is. Brandon Ketchum is a war veteran who recently tried to get benefits at the VA, couldn't get them, dude killed himself, 33 years old. You know, people who say they care about the anthem and our troops, no, you don't. I didn't see no posts on Facebook about Brandon Ketchum, and I got lots of people who, you know, were a cross-section, who their politics are, let's just say, capital P problematic, okay? No, but you want these players to stand up and toe the line and do what they got to do, but you ain't got nothing to say about these veterans you claim you care so much about. Right. No, you don't. You buy these fake camo hats and think, yeah, I'm supporting my troops. I stand, I put my hand on my heart. That means, no. You are playing into a larger system that has nothing to do with the actual thing. Listen, this country was founded on protest. And how do you think America got its freedom? Dissent. They're like, nah, we ain't trying to pay these taxes no more. Right. We're out on that.
Right.
We're out. That's how we got freedom from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Dissent and civil disobedience is how things get done. And it's just
so it's not comfortable.
And it's never comfortable. You know, people love to say, oh, we rock. Why can't these guys be like Martin Luther King Jr.? As if people were on MLK's side when it happened.
But see, I also hate when they say, oh, Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. As if the parties don't change philosophies over the course of time.
People, ask your parents and your grandparents, if they're still alive, who are around at the time that MLK was doing this thing. Mm-hmm. What side were they on then? Not where they are right now. Listen, in death, we know you was right. Yeah, we know that now because that's the winning side. You weren't on the winning side when it was happening, though. Come on, man.
Well, here's the thing, too, right? You can't also, I hate when people do that thing with MLK, because if it wasn't for MLK and other people who founded a lot of protests, whether it was a Montgomery bus boycott, whether it was different sit-ins.
Exactly.
None of those were comfortable. Like, when protests are meant by nature to make people feel uncomfortable.
That's the thing that has always really bothered me about, like, where people stand on the anthem protest, because they're like, oh, why don't they just do this at a different time? They shouldn't be doing... No, that's the time
that
to
is
do
the
it,
time.
Because look at how you're reacting and it got your attention.
That's the point.
You know what I mean?
Yep. If you had done it at a different time, it would not have got this same thing. If they said, oh, they could do it on their own time, if they did it when they walked out of the parking lot...
Ain't paying attention to them.
Nobody's paying attention to it. Platforms do matter. The times do matter. The use of that platform matters.
People just don't like being uncomfortable.
What Gerard said, I think, is 100% point. I've said it before in this podcast. We know from all the stuff we're seeing, it's not about the anthem.
Right.
That's not what the folks that are mad about it are mad about. It's about who's protesting and not coming face to face.
It's about
that they're protesting.
What they are protesting. Yeah. And we know in this country, if you are a black professional athlete, you must always show deference and appreciation for what you got, boy. Because aren't you so lucky that
you're ungrateful. That's how it's going
to
get.
You are so lucky you get to play this kid's game for millions of dollars. I don't want to hear you say nothing. Right? That is, because that's the mindset that has been indoctrinated. And it's interesting because I talk about this all the time. You know, the terrible isms this country was founded on, they haven't gone away, right? Just because, you know, Abraham Lincoln signed some document in the 1800s saying that no more slavery, okay, but you didn't actually replace a system whereby this country was built upon, right? Slavery was an economic system.
Right.
Okay, just because you got no more slaves, that doesn't mean you replaced that. And so now you have all these later laws that prop up, right, these sort of this white supremacy, which is what this is. And this is where we are right now. So anytime a black athlete does anything that is outside of where they are supposed to be, it causes issues. Listen, Colin Kaepernick is more of a patriot than any of you people who are out there saying, stand up for the anthem. Because if you are a patriot, you care about your fellow citizens and their well-being.
And freedom of their speech.
All citizens, right? Not just the ones that look like you and live where you live and do what you do.
Should care about
Look at the way we handled, and we're going to get into this too, Josh Hader, Sean Newcomb, Trey Turner, and the old tweets from their past. Look at how we handled that. God forbid, you know, that was Andrew McCutcheon, Chris Archer, you know what I mean? Curtis Granderson.
And we'll get into that because I heard somebody in a radio station try to bring up what if it was that. I'll get into that for a second, but I want to get to that.
It would be handled much differently.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of all this, with all the stuff with the anthem protests.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, has come out.
Jera.
He's basically been trying to punk his players, talking about, look, you guys are going to stand on the line. The Cowboys are going to stand toe to line. Hand over heart. Mm-hmm. He's telling them exactly how they're going to do it. And then you've got Dak Prescott and you've got Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm.
We also have Dale Hansen, who did it. Look. He just ethered Jerry Jones. let's take a listen to what he had to say, and then we're going to react to that.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has been talking this week about getting this football team ready to play in another Super Bowl. It has been 22 years since they have, and only 3 playoff wins in those 22 years. But Jones talks about that almost every year anyway. And he has been talking too much this week about all the problem the NFL is still having off the field. Jones and his son Steven were saying the other day that any player who takes a knee and doesn't toe the line during the national anthem won't be playing for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. It's incredible to me that a player can beat up a woman and play for the Dallas Cowboys. A player can use illegal drugs time and time again and still play. But you take a knee to protest the racial injustice in America, and now you've crossed a line that he will not allow. Jones loves and respects the national anthem so much that when it was being played before the start of practice Saturday, he left his cap on. And when he was told about the mistake he was making, he still left his cap on. He who makes the rules apparently doesn't have to follow them.
All right, guys, you heard what Dale Hansen had to say. I thought all the points he made were great, and it was important to hear that coming from not just somebody who works in our industry, but especially even an older white man, which is what Jerry Jones is. So another older white man
is
saying that what you're doing is hypocritical.
Right.
Agree with Dale Hansen or no?
Oh, listen, we rock hard with Dale.
Like, I know you had to set up the question.
And Dale, listen, Dale, you guys know, Dale's an OG. Dale's been doing this down in that local market for a long
time. That's another big thing about this, too, is that he's been there.
Yeah. And
he's experienced the full Jerry Jones ride.
Listen,
you know?
Jerry cares about one thing, his pocketbooks and the Cowboys winning. That's all. Nothing trumps those two things. Trumps. See what I did there? But that's who Jerry is. And so anything that alters the order of those two things,
right, yeah.
Problems.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, it is what all the owners are doing. They are placating to a specific segment of their fan base. And this is interesting about the Cowboys because – and Bomani Jones, who I know someone who we all respect and listen to, talked about this. The Cowboys might have the blackest fan base in the NFL.
He did say that, yes.
Because if you look around at jerseys, sales, and wherever, a lot of black fans love the Cowboys. But Jerry don't seem to care about them dudes.
But maybe a lot of those black fans aren't showing up at AT&T Stadium.
That's right, because if you look in the stadium, that's who Jerry cares about. The dudes who are going to stop paying money and showing up to his games, buying their camo hats, I know. And I'm keep coming out the heat. Anybody who wears a camo hat or a camo jersey, I am coming for you. So you coming for you.
You don't want that Ain't Hard to Tell camo hat we're about to
do. I mean, if it's Ain't Hard to Tell, I'm a rock with that. That's a whole different. That's more like a,
on,
that's
depends
like a Black
on why
Panther.
You're wearing the camo.
That's a Black Panther militant kind of thing.
We don't have any camo.
It depends. Is it stylish? Is it patriotic? I got camo shorts, but that's a New York staple.
I think that you're also bringing up the point, not just to Jerry Jones, but to the larger NFL.
Yes.
When you see how they react to the fans, this is just broadly speaking with the NFL. The NFL is going to react to how they think their fans are going to react to
Correct.
Something. Whether it's this, whether
Correct.
It's the Jameis yeah. Winston suspension.
Correct.
When the fans show what they either care or don't care about, the mm-hmm. paying fans I'm talking about, mm-hmm. that's how they're going to react.
Here's who the NFL does not care about, and it is clear in every action they've taken. The NFL does not care about women, okay? I know you people want to buy a little pink jerseys and whatever. That's how they make money, people. Newsflash. They actually don't care about women because they hire domestic abusers to work on teams all the time, right?
Yep.
Jerry Jones, prime example of that. Greg Hardy. They don't care about black and brown people, right? Very obvious. You better toe the line, do this, do that. Listen, they don't care about the issues these guys are protesting because, look, most of the owners – we're Trump supporters and are Trump supporters.
And are, yeah.
They funded his campaign.
Yeah.
Listen, Trump attacks the NFL every chance he gets, right? Calls them sons of bitches. Like, sorry, no. Okay, can I curse on here?
No, we can edit it.
All right.
No, but
actually, no, I think that's fine.
That's fine. But we know that because he knows that they supported him and he's going to have their ear. And this is why he thinks that he could tell them this is what y'all need to do.
So what do we think about, our boys from Dallas.
Oh, Dak Prescott
and Ezekiel Elliott. Not really, you know.
Listen.
They have a lot of back down in them, it seems.
Zeke?
And I know, I understand they're in a tough position.
Are they?
But they're really not. You know what I mean? Like,
well, Zeke is
on the outside looking in.
Zeke is
in a very tough position.
Because a year ago, he was facing DV charges.
Yeah.
And he now has to look at Jerry Jones like, yo, you saved me, man. So what's he going to do?
See, my thing is, I wish that they would just like, no, like, I'm not going to play. Because what is Jerry Jones really going to do?
Well, and I think
they can't, if anybody on that team can challenge him, and I don't want to speak for somebody else's pockets, whatever, but if anybody else on those teams want to challenge him, they could do that.
And I think
Dak Prescott was really dismissive talking about football brings me peace, whatever. And I get it. You're playing for your first big contract.
Yeah, he still don't got no money yet.
He hasn't gotten that level of financial security
yet. But that might actually be the reason why I've thought about this some more, although I agree with all that. That might be the reason that he has some leverage because how would Cowboys fans, because let's talk about these fans for a second.
Yeah. Mm.
These fans might not like people taking a knee for the anthem, but you know what they do care about?
Wins on Sunday.
They care about wins on Sunday. So now you tell me, after week one, when Dak Prescott's contract is guaranteed, and he's arguably, you could say, maybe the best value at quarterback in the league for what they are paying him.
Yeah, could argue that.
You'll get rid of that guy?
Could argue that.
You're going to cut that guy?
That's what I'm saying.
And the fans are going to be cool with
that?
That's
why I would love to see him do it. I feel like if Dez Bryant was there, he would probably do it.
Dez would do it. And
I think what I'm saying?
The thing about Dez is, though, because...
And it's not even... What we're talking about doing also.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not taking a knee, necessarily, but it's just not really reacting to Jerry Jones in the way that he's demanding you to, boy.
Zeke,
you know what
Zeke,
I mean?
Zeke, like, I think... Zeke has the... Look, yes, Jerry did help him out with that DV situation, which... And I hate to, like, downplay it. I'm not. I mean, that was serious stuff that he was involved in. But that's an opportunity where he could turn the tables right there, right? Because, look, you saw what Jerry did to get him back on the field.
Right.
So it's like, look, man, you don't have to go to the extreme, but you don't have to carry all this water for Jerry, right? You don't need to tow and parrot out Jerry's message.
You don't need to do that.
You don't need to do that. It's unnecessary.
And if you're another player, why would you want to play for the Cowboys after hearing that? Like, I understand, like, in some respects,
it might be hard for me personally to do that.
Be a fringe NFL player and you don't have any other opportunities.
And that is the difference between the NFL and the NBA, right?
Yep.
The non-guaranteed contracts are huge. NBA guys, look, NBA is a players' league. The star guys, LeBron, Kevin Durant, those guys run the league, okay?
Yeah.
They can do what they want to do and put pressure on owners and GMs and the league office.
Which is why you have that league supporting all these players with their social activism. Look at what the Milwaukee Bucks did with the Sterling Brown situation. Look how quick they came out.
On company letterheads.
But Sterling Brown's not getting a standing ovation.
And, well, that's a good segue. We could transition to that.
Well.
And Sterling Brown Sterling Brown is not a star player. And look at the support that he had.
I'm not going to lie. Probably a majority of people did not know who he was before that.
They probably thought it was the actor from This Is Us.
Sterling K. Brown.
They just missed the K. Like, they didn't know.
You're right. You know what's interesting? I bet if you, and look, Brian, I talk about this, and this is like a little theory that I like to posit out. What sport is your primarily favorite sport tells me a lot about you and your politics. And it's generally pretty easy.
You know what? I think that's kind of interesting. Right?
That is kind of. In this country, especially.
Especially.
There are some things, like, I'll put it to you this way. I'm an MMA fan.
Right.
But I don't really rock with Dana White's politics or whatever.
And I think combat.
I think MMA, not boxing. Right. MMA is very much, you know, a white man's game for the most part.
I think so. Mainly.
There's a lot of Brazilians, obviously, because it's huge in Brazil.
I'm mainly thinking the four main sports and the college sports, right? Though.
Oh, well, if you like college sports more than you like pro sports.
I already know where you're coming
we've
from.
We've talked about that here.
We didn't talk about something that happened with that when we were off during the break. And I had a discussion with another fellow journalist who claimed that college basketball. You don't remember this? Why are you looking at me like this?
I'm trying to remember.
How do you not remember
this?
He
said college basketball is better than the NBA.
He said college basketball. And I took him to task about why that was probably. It's on Twitter. So if anyone.
And he used all the code like they try harder, they hustle, they play defense in college.
In fairness to this person. They were reacting, and in my opinion, a little bit of overreacting. They were overreacting to DeMarcus Cousins going to Golden State.
I remember that. They were
saying, this is why I can't watch the NBA anymore. And he put the hashtag, college basketball is better. So I then said, when people tend to say that, it seems to be a very loaded statement. Because so the hypocrisy I called out, and I called Brian and I had a phone conversation this night.
Yeah, that night.
I said, what I find problematic is that I only see this term used in the NFL and the NBA.
Yep.
Nobody would ever say that AAA baseball is better than MLB baseball.
Correct.
Because it would be stupid.
Yeah.
Nobody would say AHL hockey
is better than NHL hockey. Because that's dumb.
Because it would be absolutely ridiculous. And then he tried to say, oh, what I meant to say is that
I found
it more entertaining. And here's the thing. I like this reporter, and we've known each other. We used to work together. We know each other for years. It's nothing bad. I said that I understood where he was coming from, but I had to make my point that I was just tired of hearing that narrative surrounding the NBA and NFL. So you hear that. That's annoying. Sorry, this is my little rant on that.
No,
but it's absolutely true.
That's what I do.
But to Gerard's point, you can tell a lot. You just in general, not even sports, you can tell a lot from somebody from something they like. That's why one of the things that I do on Twitter,
What can you tell about Gerard? Because he likes Jordan.
He stays in his feelings.
But what I could tell about, like, one of the things I do on Twitter now is if I'm about to follow somebody or if somebody follows me, is I look at their likes on Twitter. Because a lot of people say, oh, it's just social media, whatever, whatever. But no, that matters. Because if I see you liking a lot of, you know, right-wing stuff or left-wing stuff, I can, you know, tell certain things about you. If I see it's only sports, I can tell that you're trying to use that to only stick to sports, maybe to use that as a therapeutic type of thing. Or to, you know, avoid your problematic political views. I don't know. But it's like I use that as a tool because what people like, you can pretty much. What's the saying? I can show you who you are by showing you
who your friends are.
Yeah, by showing you who you hang around.
My mom and dad always say
for
that.
Sure.
You could take your five best friends and you can pretty much average out how they act. And you could be like, oh, okay, I can see where you
You fit in.
Yeah.
I mean, look, again, back to where we originally started. It is awesome being in an NFL locker room, covering football, covering just pro sports. Again, as I said, it beats working for a living. I mean, it is work, but it's a different kind of work, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, just because I cover it and I like a lot of the guys and what have you, doesn't mean I can't criticize the sport or criticize how I think they're doing things. And again, there is no game without these players, right?
Right. Like
no players, no game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, again, if we really like to champion ourselves as a country, as a place that's, you know, land of the free, equality and justice for all, and all the lovely things we love to pat ourselves on the back and say, well, we're disingenuous if we are angry at these players for what's going on. The NFL literally blackballed Colin Kaepernick out of the league. You are telling me right now there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL better than Colin Kaepernick right now?
Nope.
Nope. That is not true.
That's not true. I happen to agree. Yeah. All right. We're going to break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about mean old tweets being dug up. Is that problematic that people are digging them up? Or are we kind of exposing folks maybe the way they should? Also, a little UFC talk. Gerard is a huge fan of a show that I kind of stopped watching a little bit ago, Power. But I know he's a big fan, so we're going to talk about that and how messy or how good this season is. Not really sure.
Love it.
Well, you love it. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back on the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
It ain't hard to tell where to get the latest merchandise from Backpack Broadcasting. Gear is now available via TeePublic. Visit the Backpack Broadcasting TeePublic online store to get shirts, hoodies, mugs, and phone cases. Represent your favorite Backpack Broadcasting shows, including The Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, and of course, the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Check out the special offers for our podcast listeners at http://t.pub/lic/backpack. Get in the game with your official Backpack Broadcasting gear today.
Welcome back to the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, episode 37. Shout out to Sean Alexander. Our guest is Gerard Hector. You can see him on BET. He also does some work for Black Sports Online, and he's also on MSG.
Did you notice that Dexter said Black Sports Online?
Listen, man, we need to be clear about that, right?
Well, here's the thing, because I was like, I knew that the other two I was going to do by acronyms, BET and MSG.
Right.
So I wanted to give Black Sports Online the full thing.
That's right.
No, but it's not even that. BSO. But you didn't say Black Sports Online. You said Black Sports Online. That's what I'm saying. You got emphasize.
And you know what's funny about that? Every day.
Did you notice that, Matty P? Did I emphasize that?
Every day someone on Twitter will come at us and be like, what if there was a white sports online? Or like,
I'm sure you get
so
that.
Erica talked about that, right? In sports. Well, shout out to Erica Fernandez.
Shout out to my homegirl Erica. And the thing is, and we always say it, we are not a site for black people. We are a site curated and run by mostly black people, right? There is a difference. Right, because we cover everything. There are plenty of white stories on our site. Go in there, look around. It just happens to be, hey, mostly minorities that work there. Because guess what? Not a whole lot of opportunities for us to do that in other places.
Yeah. Right. And also, if you want a white online website, you could watch Fox.
So there you go. Like, no problem. Good. You get money. Yeah. Fox, but Fox, if you want to hire me, don't.
I don't know if they're running to do that.
I mean, they got Jason. Well, never mind.
It's
a different case.
No,
you know what
you ain't. No.
They do have Shannon Sharp, but then again, he used to play football.
That's true.
That helps him out.
We're gonna leave that where that is.
They got Chris Broussard.
Chris Broussard.
Yeah, Broussard.
Who? Broussard has gotten a lot more spicier since going over there.
Yeah, man.
He used to be. And he's called out Whitlock. So
yeah.
No.
He'll call Whitlock.
I've always liked Chris Broussard.
Because Whitlock is problematic. Let's be honest.
They also got They also got Nick Wright, who's very progressive and has a black wife.
C for another name.
Oh, we know what name he's going there.
All right, moving on. All right, so thing that's been going on, guys, in sports a lot lately.
Yeah.
Mm. Old tweets are being dug up and they're real messy and they're real problematic.
I got mixed feelings.
Racist
about
stuff,
this.
Sexist stuff, homophobic stuff. So there's two things here.
Yeah.
That I think needs to be talked about.
I got mixed feelings about this too.
I think it says something that people are digging up these old tweets, especially when they're seeing people have success.
Right.
So Josh Hader's in the All-Star game. Yeah. Somebody goes and finds this.
Right.
Sean Newcomb's throwing a no-hitter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody finds these tweets.
Right.
I think it says something about society.
Oh, without question.
Are doing that.
Yeah, and Trey Turner got it. I don't remember what was the instance, but I think it was a Phillies fan as the Nationals were beating them in a game or something
that. Right.
White Trey, by the way.
And Brian, you hit it on the head. What is fan short for?
Fanatic.
By definition, is an irrational person.
Yeah.
Right? That's what a fanatic
is. This is why I don't really call myself fan of
Well, because we're not fans anymore. Like, I mean, we may be fans overall of, like, the NBA or the NFL as leagues or whatever, but in terms of, like, fanning out or fanboying over players and teams,
right,
that's not what we do anymore.
Full circle.
You know, And the thing about this is these tweets are being dug up again by opposing teams. When you are beating my team and I'm angry because I'm an irrational fan, I'm going to dig up your tweet history to find out, did you say anything problematic, and put it out there. Not because I care about what you said back then, but because I want to make you feel shame. Why? Because you're beating my baseball team or my basketball team or my football team.
Yeah.
What? They're not. This is stupid.
They're not doing it in a way that's cleaning up the streets.
Yes, they don't care. They don't care about
They don't care about like the actual issues that these guys are saying.
You're throwing a no-hitter against my team and I'm mad.
Yeah, so that's why. Yeah, so that's.
I like the crybaby.
That's literally what it is. That's where I find the problematic thing about it is the act of actually doing it. However, I do think that it's interesting, on the other hand, that they're revealing to us what some of these players were saying and thinking.
No doubt.
When they were quote-unquote younger, but I'm like, bro. Well, me and Josh Hader are the same age.
Right.
This is how I drew the correlation. So me and Josh Hader are the same age. We're both born in 94, right?
And you young as hell.
Yeah, I know, right?
we're both born in 94. 2011, 2012 is when he was saying, you know, racial slurs,
homophobic slurs,
things like that. When I was 17, 18, I had just hopped on Twitter for the first time. And I knew back then I wasn't saying those things publicly or whatever. I wasn't really feeling those ways, period. And he was just saying, like, oh, when you're a kid, you kind of say what you feel. And I'm like, not really.
Nah,
when
fam.
You're 17, listen, 18, nah, you know better already.
I have to draw the line. Somebody said this when they were 13 and 12, and even then I still think it's problematic. Look, when you were 13 and 12, you knew if you said something that was homophobic, you knew if you said something that was wrong was racist, you knew if you said something that was sexist. Where are we saying that? Where are we drawing this line where we know what those things are? And I'm going to say 17 to 18, you damn well knew these things
for sure.
were homophobic, racist, sexist. You just, there's no way you did not know that.
Do you think it's a bigger deal if, like, Sterling Marte has some old tweets in his past where, you know what I'm saying, where he's talking about maybe white players in a certain way or things like that? I feel like we would make a bigger deal about that.
I think anybody saying anything where they're not caring or being sensitive to other groups is absolutely wrong. I don't care if you're black, white, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think what Gerard brings up and you're saying too is if there were people out there on this crusade that truly were about, hey, you know, we need to respect everybody.
Right.
We need racial equality. We need equality across genders. We need to respect women and men. We need to do this. That would be fine. But this is not the witch hunt that these folks seem to be on. It's just like, you're beating my team.
Yeah. And I'm mad.
Now I'm going to try to destroy your career.
Right.
And on top of that, guys, I don't necessarily feel like the leagues involved in this have shown that they actually really care, too. Because if you look at what happened with Josh Hader, it was like, oh, we're putting him in sensitivity training.
Please.
I'm not necessarily sure sensitivity training, which I think sensitivity training is a good thing, so I want to be clear. I think anybody in any workplace or workforce should do it.
Uh-huh.
I just had to do it for a new job I started. But I think that...
Shout out to AccuWeather.
I think that it should... I don't know why you guys are laughing. I think that it should be a part of what you do before you start a job. Not like, oh, you said this and we found this from your past. Now go take it. Because what helps? And what are we hearing from these dudes? They're all saying the same company line.
Except, this is something
I said when I was young, and I've changed my ways. How?
How did you change your ways?
Trey Turner actually did say a little bit more.
I don't know if it lived up to the standards
of what we may want to hear or probably should hear, but he did do a little more. Josh Hader's was like, just regular, you know. Oh,
here is what I think is the pivot point, though, and to follow up on what you're saying, Brian, and it's, you can take this to the NFL as well. So these tweets are coming up, right? What do media members do immediately? Run into the locker room and ask their black teammate, what do you think about so-and-so? Because why? Your black teammate has to validate that, no, he's okay because he likes me. What?
Lorenzo Cain was the one that they were, you know, reaching out for about the Josh Hader
and the thing is,
although I will admit, I think I might have tweeted this out. I was curious to see what Lorenzo Cain thought about that.
I'm not.
I was
curious. What I'm curious about? I'm curious about how these folks that say they've changed.
Right. How did they change?
And where I criticize the media, which I think is what Gerard is going to,
nobody
in the media will ever
That I want to know, too. I want to know more.
That's the next follow-up question.
Nobody ever
you say you changed. How did you change?
How?
Yeah. And again, I'm not, if it was
if you have more diversity of MLB locker rooms, then you probably get those kind of questions.
If it was me, I'm not asking a black player in the locker room. I'm going to go to a white player. Hey, man, what do you think about what your teammates said about this? Because it puts the black player now in an uncomfortable uncomfortable position because he can't now cause division and strife in the locker room by saying.
I mean, he could.
He could, but you know what's going to happen if he does.
What's going to happen?
Right? And it's the same thing.
So he gets traded.
Same thing.
Lorenzo Cain's nice. And he can help another team.
That next locker room ain't going to like well, this. Full of a lot of people that don't look like him. Ain't
same
like
same
a lot
thing.
A lot of Hispanics,
in,
too. Send him to Cleveland. Francisco Lindor will take care of him.
Yeah. Same thing in the NFL. Let's stop asking black players. Yo, Tom Brady, what you think? Aaron Rodgers, what you think?
Oh, you know how Tom Brady is.
Yeah, I know what they think, but I want them to say
but
it.
They
though.
Don't have the pressure to answer that. And Josh Hader, when you see the league do this and the media, because I do hold the media at fault for not asking these questions.
Yeah.
This is in turn where the media seems to not care. But we talked about diversity among back, and the league seems to not care. This is how you end up with a whole bunch of people in Milwaukee giving this man.
A standing ovation
in the same city.
For what?
Where? Which is one of the most segregated cities in America. In the same city where a man was arrested and assaulted by the police, clearly on camera. And Sterling Brown, another professional athlete,
in that city.
You know what I would like to do? And I don't. I think it was Jemele Hill suggested this. Maybe
Jemele Hill, probably. Yeah.
Maybe you should have Josh Hader meet up with Sterling Brown. Let them meet.
Yeah,
and then let them talk about
shout it up.
How problematic what he's doing and saying, yeah. Not caring about people who were affected by the language that he was using. Maybe he should meet an athlete like Michael Sam that's come out
Damn,
and talk
name.
To that athlete about how that's been. Maybe he should talk to some women who were victims of domestic abuse. I know he didn't say anything sexist, but I'm just saying if somebody goes in that way, that's maybe the true sensitivity.
Marginalized groups, man.
Yeah,
you
maybe you should talk to marginalized groups because you're not having those conversations. Having those conversations. Who's running the sensitivity training for MLB? Do I know? I'd like to know. Can I see? Like,
can I see their staff to see if there's, you know, some color in there?
Yeah, because I mean, like, you look at a lot of the MLBs.
Some women in there?
Yeah. Like, who's running that?
Now, you know what? Part of the problem, too, is, you know, when you're in locker room and media and stuff like that, you know, I was at training camp with the Giants yesterday up at East Rutherford, and I talked to a couple guys after practice, and, you know, I talked about some of their foundations and things that they do. But you also worry about going too far asking certain questions because you know the PR people are there and listening and whatever, and you know what happens. And I'm not saying that the Giants have done this or anybody else has done this. This is your livelihood. You can't get your credentials limited or taken away right?
What do you think about Roberto Osuna getting traded to the Houston Astros amidst his suspension after the Astros, you know, kind of shot down the idea that they endorse?
Can he help them win games?
That's the thing.
Okay. Well, okay then.
That's the thing.
Yep.
Okay.
So
then.
It's all about that.
I'm like,
that's your answer.
They came out strong against.
Listen, man.
And Justin Verlander is somebody who spoke out against domestic violence.
Those things.
For those
are,
of you who don't know, Roberto Osuna is somebody who's serving.
Can he help them repeat as champions?
He's serving a 75-game suspension for a domestic dispute and got traded to the Astros because they want to win another
World
Series.
Here's the other thing. Gerard just came out and said, can he help them win the games? Do our fans care? The answer is also no. They know the fans don't care. We talked about the fans not caring about women. This
you
again,
don't
cause
care.
Because that's the biggest slap in the faces to me with that. It's women. And women who are fans of the MLB. And if they don't believe the majority of the fan base cares, and do the majority. Like Roberto Osuna is going to come out at some point and make a relief appearance in
and
Houston.
Get a standing
strike
ovation.
Strike out the side.
Going to get a standing O.
Yeah.
The same way Josh Hader got a standing O.
Which still doesn't make sense.
Like, and it doesn't make
they're
any
cheering
sense.
Him for being young and stupid.
No.
You know, it's this idea. Look, sports is just a microcosm of the larger society and world in which we inhabit.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what people need to understand. This whole idea of stick to sports and what have you, that has never been the case. First of all, this is not even politics. This is human decency. And I hate when people say, oh, take your politics out of this. This is not politics. This is human decency.
Yeah, it's morals.
Right? Like, right. There's nothing to do with politics.
It's not right and left. It's
okay?
right and wrong.
Exactly right. This has always been, people of color and black athletes have always been at the forefront of this, right? I just finished reading Howard Bryant's book, The Heritage.
I want to read that.
And it is fantastic. It gives you the lineage of how you cannot stick to sports because that was never an option.
So for you.
Right. It was for black, it was never a choice. They could never just stick to sports.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Black dudes are never saying stick to sports, by the way. Hispanics, not really.
Right.
Well, no.
People of color never say stick to sports. It's not, you know.
Like,
that's just where we are.
Some people, it's the escape. I get it. But you can't really escape this stuff.
because you're trying to, you can't escape life. This is what we live in.
Exactly. That's why you can't escape it.
Yeah. Who?
Let's see now.
You have to look at who's like people, trying to people, what they're trying to escape.
Yeah. Like people like, oh, you want to call ESPN like MS-ESPN just because they have a lot of people.
The idea that ESPN is a liberal organization is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Yeah. I'm like, do you people know who runs the Walt Disney Company? Like,
they're clearly not paying attention. So it's going to be interesting to see if these trends continue about people digging up old tweets. Before we go, we got to talk about your favorite show. He's smiling.
He's saying this is a big rich town.
And hip-hop in general. Hip-hop in general. So we got into source.
I just come from the poorest part.
You are a fan of the show Power.
I am. I do weekly recaps, by the way. Recaps. Check me out on Black Sports Online,
Black
baby.
Black Sports Online, weekly recaps.
What is it that you love so much about Power that you've now invested your writing into this?
Well, you know, and listen, let me tell you, as the fans of the recap know, and they love it, we engage on social media every week. It's a labor of love, man, because, you know, I watch that episode multiple times, and I go deep on it. Mm. You know, at its core, Power's a love story, at its core. Huh, okay. It is about the love between Ghost and Angela. That is what this story is about. Yes, he was married to Tasha at the time, or, you know, but Angela was this magnetic force that he could not pull away from, and same for him. Listen, man, you got a fiance. How you gonna be
magnetic force?
Fiance not your magnetic force?
Now you gonna try to catch me?
Yup. Yep, because she listening to this pod right now.
Now, first of all, I'm never gonna be hustling backwards. Ever that is that stupid. Like everybody in here is smiling. We got a producer Maddie smiling because he's like, Dexter, don't mess up. She is the magnetic force in my life.
You got that right.
I'll tell you what my fiance is not gonna want to hear. What? I'll tell you what. She's not gonna want to find out that it's some Angela.
Oh no!
That is magnetically pulling me.
She don't want somebody else coming in there.
Yeah, because Angela is the magnetic force that pulled
me
away.
She was the other woman. Tasha. Yes, Tasha. She played by the wonderful Tori Naughton from 3LW fame.
Yes.
Google that, folks. You don't know about 3LW.
The youngins like Brian don't even. Yeah,
he's like 3LW. Who? Never heard of them.
I'm just nodding my head.
No, but you know, listen. It's at this stage. We're now in season 5.
Yep.
Those of us who are still watching and me who recap it, we're way too invested together.
Oh,
now.
Okay. You know, I know 3LW.
Google it.
Very familiar. Yes.
But no, listen, so you have that, and then you have sort of the age-old question, right? Because for Ghost, the idea is, if he went down the other path, what would his life have been, right? So the backstory is, when Angela and he were kids and in high school, their whole goal was to, you know, take themselves out of the hood and, like, you know, make something of themselves, which is, you know, what?
The American dream.
That's right. You know, Angela got an opportunity to go to Choate, which is a real, prestigious private school up in Connecticut. Okay. She went one way, Ghost stayed in the hood.
And went to the streets.
Which
is a true story that happens for a lot of people.
For sure.
These communities.
And they happened to meet again as adults, both successful, but both done differently. And Ghost is like, you know, the road not traveled. I wonder. Now, that's problematic when you have a wife and 3 children to wonder about the road not traveled, right? I mean, not what I would say is a good idea.
I don't think it's a good idea, but you rode down that road.
Once you go back to that first love and that, you know, the show at its core, obviously those two, but it's also the terrible choices those two have made and the selfish choices those two have made. And the repercussions it has now had for 5+ years going on, and the collateral damage and fallout that's happened.
Are you happy with where the show is this season?
I am. You know, I think, look, as with any show, you hit a point, and around season 4-ish is when I was like, okay, Courtney Kemp, the showrunner, knows where the show is ending. I think everybody's like, so how are we wrapping this up? Where are we going here? And how much longer are we going to keep this going? Because I think—
You think it's already ran its course?
In some ways, I think, because for some fans, they probably want Angela to either have been killed. Listen, Angela has done so many illegal things as a federal prosecutor.
Yes.
Homegirl should be locked up for 1,000 years by now, and she's not. She somehow managed to skirt her way around the law. Now, part of what I told people when they watch TV is you must suspend belief, because that's just part of TV.
Hard for me to do that sometimes. I'm one of those people.
But that's just what TV land is. You got to suspend belief sometimes. Okay, this is highly unlikely, but okay, you got to kind of roll with it. But that's just sort of where they are. But I think we are so tied into these characters, and we want to see where is this end game going to finish out. I don't know that we get the happily ever after ending. Well, because it's still not happily, because Ghost still wrecked his original family. But which is what he did. Ghost and Angela are on this collision course, and the idea is, and it's already now there in season five. I mean, Tasha's done; she's moved on. She's with Terry Silver, and he's already showing up at her house drunk, at Angela's apartment drunk, and you know how that goes. Once you start drunk texting your ex and showing up, you already know where that's going. You know what's next. So, I mean, look,
I kind of want to ask if anyone has a bad drunk texture.
1,000. I mean, look, nope. I
don't drink, so.
I was married and dating the same woman for several years, so I don't have those stories from then. But prior to then, sure, you drunk text sometimes or drunk call. That's just that happens.
I've received drunken texts before.
I love to see your face. So overall, you like where it's going. It's good to know that they are wrapping it up. Before we go, a couple hip hop stuff for you.
Yeah, man.
We know that you listen to Drake.
I just said love story. I just said a love story, so you know I'm in my feelings, right?
Yes. Hopefully you're not crying out to no Kiki's out there.
Mm. Kiki, do you love me?
But what do you like to listen to? What do you like to listen to now? Who are you listening to nowadays?
You know, it's tough, man. You know, a lot.
That's a good way to start.
Well, no, it is. Listen.
It's horrible out there for these rappers.
I have a lot of younger cousins in their late teens, early 20s, and they're always like trying to keep me hip to what's current. That's where I get all my stuff from. And they're always like, man, you used to listen to that? Nah, we don't do that now. And I'm like, what are the cool kids saying? They're like, first of all, we don't say cool kids. That's number one. I was like, all right, well.
Say the kids who are lit.
Yeah, there you go. I'm like, Littleton. They're like, nope, not that. Just lit. Anyway, I really started getting into Cardi B recently. Because at first I was like, listen, man, enough with this. These are red bottom. I'm like, come on, man. I'm good with that. I'm good. But, you know, Cardi, I was like, all right, I could. What I like so much about her is how much that generation seems to love Cardi and like really like they almost like build a consensus around it. They will ride for her so hard. And I think there's something about her authenticity they appreciate.
Here's the thing though. Here's the thing with that. So this is very weird how I'm going to tie this into this, but I recently interviewed Uriah Hall, UFC fighter from Queens, Jamaica. He talked about Cardi B when I spoke to him, and he said one of the things that, and he really likes Cardi B, but he feels like one of the reasons that people really like her is because she's so authentic, and that is a representation of what people wish they could be. Because a lot of people are living through the social media prism of just putting things out there,
and it's also
just for the appearance. Yeah. And Cardi B is just pretty much her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Allowing, at least we think so.
And that's also part of the maturation process, and we've all been there, right? Like, it's hard. Like, you often live your life because of what you think others are going to say about you and judge you. But we all know, you get to a point, yo, man, those people paying your bills? No.
Nope, don't give a damn about that.
It don't matter. You got to do you.
And even if they are.
So there's something about Cardi that I appreciate. Be Careful is actually one of my favorite songs right now. I just really enjoy.
Be Careful.
Yeah, because she's kind of like, you know, I'm like, man, you're coming. You really giving it to this dude right now with this song. I'm like, okay, good for you,
respect
Ma.
Respect the honesty.
I do.
Who else do you like?
Someone who is capital P problematic right now. But
that you like?
That I like. Okay. But I ride for him in terms of like.
Oh, I know where we're
You know where we're going. You know exactly where we're going.
Because
I got a bone to pick with the both of you.
Can we book more time?
And we don't have time for it. But and really, honestly, it's really every album. And it's obviously Kanye West who I'm talking about. It's every album up until Life of Pablo is where I sort of like draw my line of demarcation.
Damn, Yeezus wasn't it?
It wasn't because I knew what he was trying to go for on Yeezus. It didn't work as well as he wanted to execute it, but I see where he's going.
Work, period.
And the fact that you two slander the greatest album of the past 25 years is problematic. Yes, you heard it and I said it.
Wait, what album is the greatest album of the last
Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Okay. Front to end.
These are going to be the greatest 4 minutes ever.
So before we
started this, we were talking about how The Source rates albums and The Source has since fell off.
Yeah.
And where they fell off was probably in 2005 when they gave The Naked Truth 5 stars.
Yeah.
Five mics. They gave My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy 5 mics. Not and Dexter was like, get out of here. And I'm also like, get out of here.
Okay.
I've maintained that Kanye West hasn't made a dope record in 8 years. And that album came out 8 years ago.
Here's my premise.
Got a couple things.
And here's what I think. Because I think I know this thing about you two. You two, with your hip hop albums, and I think I know this. you're here for bars. If it don't got bars, you do not want to hear it. You're like, turn off.
Let me address that really quickly because we got a couple minutes. Kanye has never been a top-notch lyricist ever. So I've known this from the jump. I love Kyle's Rap Out.
That's a
good
one.
I love Late Registration. Yeah. I love Graduation.
Too many skits.
I think those albums are too many skits. But Kanye has always been excellent to me before. I think everything before. I like My Beautiful Artistic Fantasy.
So good.
This comes across as I don't like it. I just don't think it's great.
It's so good.
Artistic Fantasy is better than To Pimp a Butterfly?
I think so. Hey, wait. Not in the level of bars. Clearly, Kendrick is not
even musicality. I don't think so.
You got to go back and really go dive deep into the actual musicality
here's what we're doing. I put my hand on Gerard's shoulder right now.
Are you gonna pray?
No, we're not doing that. But what I will say to Gerard is, and we'll save this for an extra thing that we'll put out for the fans. I'm going to go back and listen to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fanny with an open mind. I'm not gonna be biased. I'm gonna dive deep as you do into your power recap.
Yes,
which everybody
deep,
should read.
Deep. Thank you.
And I'm gonna come back and be like, hey, because I really haven't sat with that album like in a real way. And I know Dissect.
I've tried.
Podcast Dissect.
Listen to Dissect.
I started it, and then I was like, I'm not as invested as I'm doing, but I know they went and did it in their third season.
Second, because third season is Frank Ocean, so it's
second
season.
Second season they did that.
Yeah.
First season they did Kendrick.
Yes.
And listen. I think it's better.
I will say, Kendrick, and I don't think it's a bold statement. I mean, Kendrick's the best rapper in the game right now. I mean,
I agree.
I mean, my cousins are going to listen to this right now and be like, oh, word? What happened to Jay? What happened to Big? I'm like, no. Best right now. I'm not saying he's the best
right now,
all time.
Right now,
yeah.
Yes.
Right now, I think so. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's crazy. Anyway, it's not for me about the bars. I think they're okay. I think some of the production's okay. I think it was a little too feature heavy on that album.
There's a lot of features.
And that's a knock for me with the album.
A lot of features.
I think it's a very good album. I just don't think it's great in that 5-mic category.
So you know the other thing about albums that I will say this.
We got 2 minutes,
and
guys.
It's about music. It's always about what it means to you at a time in your life when whatever you're dealing with or going through, whatever. And I know this for a fact about that album.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel a certain type of way. And it's really hard for me to actually articulate it, and I actually write words for a living. But it makes me feel a certain type. It makes me feel a certain type of way.
Yeah,
and it's the entire arc. It's the rise, the fall, the redemption. And I feel all of that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it.
I can understand.
I get it.
You know what?
I get
understand
it.
That. And
I get it.
I'll let Brian have the last word, then we got to get out.
Yeah, no.
See, Brian's just too young. I'm only here for bars.
No, it's not even just that.
Which is surprising for somebody who's
the music actually matters, and a lot of people, you're not in this category, but a lot of people that love these certain artists to mm-hmm. me, Kanye, these other guys who are very overrated, I'm like, yo,
damn.
You don't listen to some of these other artists that I listen to have other layered stuff, because otherwise you wouldn't be saying that this artist is
but
dope.
Kanye's got layers.
But what I'm saying is that doesn't matter in comparison to, all right, that matters in comparison to if I listen to who? Tekashi 69 in my daily life? But I listen to people like Sky Zoo, and I listen to people like Royce the 5'9", who just out the album of the year, who have very, very layered material. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
So I have a different ear than a lot of other people do. You Only Live Twice is an album that I reference to you a lot because there are songs in there that talk about beating a rape case that he never really should have been in the first place.
Yeah.
Him
no, I understand what both of you are saying, and I'm definitely going to do it. We'll do it for extra. When Gerard, we're going to come back. We're going to get some reaction for you. About that.
I'm
best
sure.
Album in the last 25 years?
I know.
What you got in that cup over there?
I'm on that JR, that hand dog.
I'm gonna make a list of albums in the last 25
listen,
years.
And I know that was a bold statement. I'm sure you're gonna come back and be like, it's better than this. But again, I think
Illmatic.
A lot of it, I think, for me is sort of
how you felt.
How it makes me particularly feel. And there's just something about that album that I'm like, yo.
It hits you in a way.
And it's when the minute, like, first of all, so I was an English major. It starts with Roladell's Snow White, and I'm like, yo.
I knew you were going to go.
This is my shit.
No, that is dope,
I'm like,
though.
Yo.
I can't knock that.
And then Gorgeous comes on, and I'm like, yo. It just
feels like you're having an experience.
I know. I am.
All right, so what do you think about his new stuff?
No.
All right.
You know what? I think that's a good note. That's a good note to end it.
No.
We're getting the sign to wrap up. Gerard, thank you for coming on.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Listen.
You got to come back, man.
Listen, I'm happy to be back. Guys, ain't hard to tell. You guys are the truth. We got to I want the 800 to tell intro, outro music on right now. I'm so hyped.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you like the outro. Yeah, shout out to Homage Beats who produced that.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
All right, man.
Don't forget, people, Patreon and the Ain't Hard to Tell store.
Yes, Ain't Hard to Tell store.
Yeah, man. Buy all this merch, man.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all.
All right. That's Gerard Hector. Again, you can check him out. He writes for Black Sports Online, BET. You can see him on MSG. This is episode 37, Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Dex Henry, Brian Fonseca. We're out.